Now, I'm not sure if it give away this secret. Those of you who are older maybe have realized it by now. But parents can see into the future. They have this special superpower. I don't know if you've ever experienced this as either a child or as a parent, where you say, at the end of this day, this house will be clean, one way or another. Now, we are going out for a minute or for a few hours, and then we will be coming back. And if you have not done your part in cleaning this house, there will be unpleasant consequences. And you know what happens? It's uncanny. At the end of the day, the house is cleaned, and sometimes there have been unpleasant consequences doled out. Humanity has seen the future. We read about it just this morning, just now. In verse 3, after his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive with many proofs during 40 days. And then going on to verse 11, the angels came and announced to the disciples, Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come again in the same way as you saw him go. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we long for the day when we will see Jesus Christ face to face. We long for the day when he will set all things right and bring an end to all suffering. We long for the day when our love will be complete. We pray that today and throughout this week, as we wait for Pentecost, we would prepare ourselves to receive your Holy Spirit, so that we might find strength and comfort to see us through to the day, to the end of our lives, or the day of Christ's return. We ask this in his name. Amen. What is the gospel? At times when we try and explain to others, put into our own words what the gospel is, it seems easy for us to slip into mistaking the impact or the benefits of the gospel or the application of the gospel with the gospel itself. We sometimes mix up the benefits of the good news with the good news itself. Like a person who had searched for water on their property and finds a well and digs it and then brings the bucket into the home and says, I have good news. It's not the bucket that's the good news. It's the well itself, the source. Or we look at the impact of the sun around us. We say we can see plants growing, photosynthesis. We can feel the warmth of the sun. And we mistake those gifts for the good news instead of the source, the sun itself. And so at different times, we have tried to talk about the gospel in terms of what it accomplishes in our lives, that we are forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross. But that is not the good news. The good news is the story itself. The good news is Jesus Christ, born, lived, who died, who rose again, who ascended into heaven, and who will come again. We are witnesses to the source, to Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ we want to know, and we want others to know. It is his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his return. That is the message that we pass on from generation to generation. Now, in recent years, the part of the story that seemed to make the most impact, the way it was felt, was that our sins were forgiven on the cross. That was the part of the story that seemed to have the greatest impact. And that doesn't seem to be the case as much these days. Now, that doesn't change the fact that the gospel still has power. The story of Christ's life. Over the next few months, we'll be reading through the book of Acts. And I encourage you, in your own reading, and as you listen carefully, to ask yourself, what is the story that is being passed on? What was it that in the book of Acts, that the apostles felt was the gospel? What impact did it have in those days? And as we think of that story, instead of trying to hang on to the things that used to have an impact, why don't we ask, where's the power of the gospel at work in the lives of the people around us today? First, today, in the ascension of the resurrected Jesus, I want to suggest that the impact is on how we use our bodies and our world. Now let me ask you this. On the whole, which is treated better? Maybe I should ask Tom this. A rental car or a car that is owned and cared for by its own owner? I don't know, Tom, what do you think? Do all the rental cars come back in perfect condition? Is that how it works?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that that is good behavior or right or that everyone behaves that way, but I think you recognize that attitude. That attitude enough to know that it is a human tendency to care a little less about driving a rental car than your own. People tend to treat something that is their own and that will be their own for a long time better than something that's going to be theirs only for a brief moment. Now, this was the attitude of the pagans that the gospel had to confront. There was a sense, a cultural tendency to say that these bodies don't matter. They are full of sin. They're corrupt. They decay. They don't matter. We're going to dispose of them soon enough. And therefore, it doesn't matter who we have sex with or how much we eat. It doesn't matter what we do with our wealth. All of that is just a natural response to satisfying the physical urges that we have in these disposable bodies. Who cares? One day we are going to be spiritual beings in heaven. And you can see that in Paul's writing to the Corinthians church in Corinthians 1 and 2. But others have asked, who cares about how we treat our planet? Who cares about reducing the waste? Who cares about how much we consume or about cleaning up trash and pollution? Why care about trees and grasses and shrubs? Why care about water use? Why care about insects and birds and animals or our pets? And of course, those who use their wealth and power now for their own benefit would indeed prefer if there was no connection to how they live on earth, to the world that is coming. The powerful who abuse and oppress other people, those who indifferently use up the earth and treat it like their garbage bin, would like nothing better than to find out that it really doesn't have an impact in eternity. Can we say that God does not care about human bodies? Does not care about life? Or this planet, or all creation. Does God care about those things?
Yes.
These are rhetorical questions, right? Very easy. You're right. God called it very good. And God blessed humanity. And God blessed creation. And then God became a part of it. Jesus was conceived within Mary's womb. Jesus was given birth to and lived. And then Jesus died for this world and for creation. For God so loved the world. And then Jesus rose from the dead, but once again in a physical body, albeit a transformed one. And then Jesus took that resurrected body into heaven itself. So we have reason to care about our bodies and our world. Because, as we read in verse 3, Jesus presented himself alive over 40 days with many convincing proofs. We have reason to care about our world and our bodies because Jesus, in that physical resurrected body, has been taken up into heaven and will come again in the same way. Which is another way of saying that the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven in a physical body, and that's the way he's going to come back. One day all of humanity will be resurrected. Not just some, everyone, like it or not. We will be resurrected. That is what the scriptures tell us. Daniel pictured it this way. Those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame. And so Paul wrote to the church in Rome, in chapter 2, verse 16, the day is coming when, according to the gospel, God, through Jesus Christ, will judge everyone. So the ascension tells us that how we treat ourselves, how we use our bodies, and how we use this world does matter, and we will be held accountable. But secondly, the ascension of the resurrected Jesus gives us hope. Why endure? Why insist on doing what's right when so often one person ruins another person's hard work? One plants and the other destroys. One gives and another steals. Why endure when our bodies themselves begin to break down and cause us pain? And why endure when the death of those we love cause our hearts such terrible pain? Do we endure simply because we fear God's judgment? Or do we just hope that one day it will all be over? Now, as a way of illustration of our hope, there's a seed bank in Svalbard, Norway. And over 1 million seeds have been collected from all around the earth and are stored there, frozen and preserved and kept safe. Most nations have a seed bank so that if there's some sort of natural disaster or war that wipes out farmers' crops and storehouses, that there's a seed house that can once again begin to replant the land for food. Well, what happens if the nation's storehouse is destroyed? Well, Svalbard was created to preserve the seeds of the plants and the fields, the trees and the grasses of the earth, to keep them safe. This is exactly what's happened in Afghanistan and Iraq. Wars destroyed their national seed bank. Now, what hope would there be for those countries to once again produce food? Well, Svalbard was there to replenish their storehouses. When peace and order are restored, the seeds can be returned. Now, there's a similarity to what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. We endure because we know the future of the world. It's preserved safe for us in heaven. Jesus Christ has physically been brought up and is being kept safe there until the day that he returns to set everything right. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him. So why do we endure? Because Jesus taught us that we are storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where wars and floods, sickness and death cannot destroy it. And as John saw in Revelation, one day, the heavenly city where everything is stored will descend to earth. One day all of our losses and struggles, all of our suffering will be redeemed. Unlike those frozen seeds in Svalbard, Christ is not sitting frozen and passively waiting in heaven. But through the Holy Spirit is active in our world, sustaining it and renewing it. It is at God's mercy that evil is allowed a time to continue so that many more could be saved. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. And so when the time is right, God will send Jesus Christ again to set things right once and for all. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ, conceived, born, lived, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and coming again one day.